Mini-episode 341 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Rick Morris, Ken Palmer, your FDH Lounge dignitaries, breaking down the college football scene here as we come up towards the end of the season, the last couple of weeks of the NCAA football regular season. Couple of undefeated teams at the four. That is really the big story, Ken, and very few surprises among them. Alabama expected to be right in the mix there all season long. Ohio State, maybe a little bit of a surprise with Florida State because they've had the talent the last couple of years. Generally, they step on their Johnson at some point and lose a game that they shouldn't. They've been way too good to allow that to happen thus far this year. Baylor in the conversation coming out of the Big 12 potentially. And you look at Oregon having gone down very recently here to Stanford and taking them out of the mix right there. But as you're looking at the top contenders, what are your thoughts on this as far as we haven't had since, I believe, 2004, more than two undefeated power conference teams here? It always looks like there's going to be more than that. Chances are it's going to shake out, but I'm having a hard time seeing a scenario right now where we've only got two undefeated teams.
Yeah, I'm wishing we were a year ahead of time and we were headed to a 14 playoff. You know, then you're always still going to have that 15 that's upset. But, you know, every year you could make the case. It's rare that there's just the two undefeated teams, like you said. And, you know, you look at a situation like last year, you know, sure, Notre Dame was second. But if there were a third and fourth team in the mix in a playoff, someone would have knocked Notre Dame out of there and we would have had a much more competitive national championship game. So, It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Alabama losing just seems so unlikely now or ever down the road, you know, but eventually it'll happen. And you look at Oregon, they were loaded for bear. They barely won a couple weeks ago. But now you're wondering, does Stanford jump ahead of your boys, so Ohio State, or does, you know, Ohio State move to three? You know, you had Florida State beating up on Miami so much that they jump from three to two. So it's all pollsters and this and that really comes down to it. Despite the BCS factor, it's all what people think and perception. And, you know, people are getting on Ohio State for running up the score. And as much as you respectfully understand my disdain for Ohio State, you can't blame them. I would do the same thing. I mean, Joe Paterno and Penn State would have a national championship in 1994 if they ran up the score in Indiana, but that wasn't how they operated. They fell from 1-2 late in the year, and they never got the shot they'd be back at number one. So if I'm a coach, I'm running up the score. I hate to say it, but it's just today's game. It's how you have to do it. And, you know, if you're four like Ohio State and you're trying to get to two, you got to blow out people. You got to make people take notice and see if the pollsters give you a little more credit than they have.
Well, Joe Pa wasn't too restrained to drop a 63 burger on Ohio State back in the 90s. I think it was the exact inverse score of what we saw in this year's game. The funny thing is, I may have been at the game that will go down as the closest we see to an Ohio State loss this year. I was at that Iowa game where everybody in the crowd was just doing a collective WTF on what was happening there. I have to say, just anecdotally, for my dad, who's a season ticket holder, he has said to me, this is why I don't want to play Alabama. My dad's not greedy. He wants to see him go to the Rose Bowl and just to take on whoever they play there. I'm actually going to the Big Ten championship game in a couple of weeks. After watching what Michigan State did to Michigan last week, I wouldn't want any part of that if I was Ohio State. I would rather play Nebraska and take your chances on getting screwed by the computer rankings, Ken. That's from my perspective, personally.
Yeah, well, that's what it's turned into, Rick, and hopefully a little of that will be, you know, disappear next year when you got the top four in. It's turned into you're worried about this and that, and, you know, Central Florida goes ahead and beats Cincinnati. You know, they beat the heck out of them, and everyone's coming to me, and, oh, that's good for Penn State, and, It doesn't matter, man. I mean, Central Florida beat Penn State in whatever it was, week two or week three, and they were the better team. You know, so now they go ahead and they beat a better team, a better ranked team than Penn State. So that makes Penn State's loss to Central Florida look better. I mean, what are we talking about? You know, you only play 12 games. Just go win your 12 games. Win 11 of them, and that's all you have to worry about. It. There shouldn't be so much back and forth of, like you're saying, if Nebraska wins or Michigan State loses or whatever. But, I mean, that's literally what this has turned into, which is why, you know, at least the four will help, you know, remove some of that. We need a playoff. You need 16 teams. You know, and the 17th team crying is not the same as the 15th crying or the third team crying. You need a playoff. Let them decide this on the field, because there's just too much back and forth. You know as well as I do, even if you're doing nothing but watching college football on a Saturday, which is heaven to both of us, you still can't watch every game. You're looking at scores. So, oh my gosh, Florida State won by 30. You didn't even see a second of the game, but you're ready to say that Florida State's that much better, or this one barely won by four. So, you know, it's rare that you can see all the games involved, which is why the more you're leaving it up to human opinion, the less fair it really is. You just got to get these teams and let them go play. And they're talking about losing money and, you know, losing class time and making money and this and that. But to me, it's all absurd. I mean, everyone else does it. You know, March Madness in college basketball is the best 3-4 weeks around. And if football did it, there'd be nothing like it. And they'd never turn back from it, Rick.
Well, and the funny thing is, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm not mentioning this to bury somebody who was nice enough to come on the program, but prior to the implementation of this system, I have been a long-time advocate of a four-team playoff. I basically like things the way they are. I like the fact that college football is one of the only institutions anywhere that has a regular season that means something, and where you have a chance to really eliminate yourself from contention in the regular season. I've been an advocate of that. Bill Hancock on the program argued with me, and that, oh, well, it's the slippery slope to a playoff. And right now he's out there saying everything I said at the time about how a 14 playoff is the best. And I appreciate that. The man's just doing his job, and I understand that. I just like to joke about that. But while I'm joking about stuff, just on a side note here, Ken, when we're talking about who beat who and how this affects the computers, you know, if you go by the old Ric Flair precept of to be the man, you got to beat the man, then a year ago, wasn't Frank Solich really the Big Ten Coach of the Year? Shouldn't it have gone to him because he beat the man?
You would think so. Yeah, you would think so. But
as an Ohio Bobcat, I just got to get that in there. When you're looking at what's happening here with the polls, the way that it may shake out, with Oregon now out of the mix, and now potentially this Alabama-Florida State game for the national championship, if they can both hang on, does that not represent the best chance for anybody to beat Alabama in a big game that we've seen in the last couple of years? A Florida State team fully realized, I mean, I've been putting them over the last couple of years, this is their year, this is their year, and they always come up short, they lose a game they shouldn't, and conceivably they still could, but the way that they've been going great guns the entire year, do they represent possibly the biggest threat to Alabama in this three-year run?
Oh, for sure they do. And again, I know we're a year away, but to me, and again, I hate to toot your clown's horn, but I'd like to see Ohio State get in it. I think they're physical enough that they could play with that team. I think they could play with Alabama. And go ahead, Alabama's number one, no doubt about it, but let's put Ohio State number four. Let's make the game at Alabama so it's fair. You know, they get their home field advantage, but I would like to see Ohio State take a crack at Alabama. I would like to see, you know, I don't want to say Stanford. I know they won last night. Good for them. But I don't think they're that good. You know, they have plenty of flaws, too. And there's no question. I think the top two teams are the top two teams. But I think at the end of this, Ohio State's going to be the third best team, and they're going to be an outside looking in. And I'm not saying they beat Alabama, but I sure would like to see that game. And I think it's fair to Ohio State and everybody that they would get the chance to see it. Next year we will. This year we won't. So to me right now, you do have the two top teams and the two top spots, and let's see what happens. I still don't think Florida State will beat Alabama. I would love to see it, but I don't think it'll happen. But I sure would like to see Alabama have to beat two really good teams in 2 weeks to win the championship, as opposed to last year where they had to beat no good teams in 2 weeks.
Absolutely, and that would really change the equation if we had that format in place. I have to say, I kind of agree with my dad on this in that I don't think Ohio State really would be able to pull it off against Alabama. When you look at how up and down offensively they've been at various points in time, that Iowa game really kind of a microcosm. Even going back a little bit further in the season, the Buffalo game early on, they've actually looked better at times with Kenny Guyton, their backup at quarterback, which I don't think anybody really saw coming. But it's a situation there where I do have to admit, as far as it goes with Ohio State and the fan base, one of the whiniest in the country. And I tell you what, you're going to be hearing it all day long if Ohio State is undefeated and excluded from the national championship game about how it's not fair. Urban Meyer hasn't lost a game since he came to Ohio State. This is basically going to turn into a lifetime achievement award situation for Buckeye Nation if they're excluded from that, leaving aside the fact that it's completely irrelevant what you did in 2012.
Well, you won't be hearing it from me. That's my dream scenario. I want them to win their last four games by an average of 50 points and finish third. I'm not too proud or angry to admit it. That'd be dream scenario to me. But of course, yeah, I could see the other viewpoint of it as well. You know, like we said, I mean, you know, whether it's two teams, four teams, eight teams, 16 teams, there's always going to be that next guy. It's just more pronounced when there's always two teams. It'll be less pronounced when there's four teams, you know, but there'll still be that fifth guy that wanted to be four. So, I mean, it's just kind of the nature of the beast, and I don't even want to criticize it. I don't think it's bad. I think the human element is a good part of it. But like I said, the problem is no one can watch all these games. The second half of the early game last night and the first half of the late game, they went together. They were on at the same time. So any voter that's voting on the results of last night's game cannot honestly say they watched both games unless they DVR'd them. You know, and more power to them if they did. I'm guessing they didn't, because I didn't, and I like college football an awful lot. So basically, those were two huge influential games last night, and most people only saw half of each. But they're still going to weigh in, and they have their opinions, and their vote's going to count on who's number one, who's number two, who's number three. So that's the problem with it, and there's no real way to fix it. I'm not criticizing anybody. It's just the system. But I just think the more you can remove the outsider's opinion, the better you'll be. And the fact that there's still a coaches poll to me is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of, Rick. I mean, that is, you know, granted with media you have biases, who went to Penn State, who went to Ohio State, who went to USC. But when you have coaches voting, I mean, come on, how silly is that?
Yeah, no question about it. You know, we are a year away from, you know, as we've alluded to, if we're go constitutionally speaking, a more perfect union, hopefully a year down the road with the four-team playoff and the brave new world that is awaiting us. Hopefully some of these issues will be a little bit easier to shake out, but it will be very intriguing to see what follows here in the month of November, heading into December, the assignment of the bowl slots, the BCS, and then the games themselves as they follow. Ken, great having you back on. It is my fervent wish we can get you back on without such a long delay next time here. Really enjoy the times that we've had on getting to talk to you and miss the times when I haven't gotten to. So looking forward to doing it again sometime soon, my friend.
You bet, Rick. Stay well, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much. The great Ken Palmer, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us today in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.